Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of What's on the Other Side. I'm Max Schumacher, filling in for Drake Jones again. Roddy Johnson will be joining us, as always, momentarily.
It's Sunday night, so I'm not sure how many people will be calling in, but I think we have a few people lined up, at least that had some questions and wanted to talk about some stuff. So we will see. For now, we will wait for Rodney. And, yeah, lots of weird, fun things to talk about, and I'm sure, as always, Rodney will have some cool stuff to bring to the table, and looks like he's calling in now, so let's get him on the line. How's it going, Rodney?
Oh, great. Good to join you. Doing well. Just talked to a friend of mine. He just left a moment ago, so sorry if I'm a minute late, but here and willing, so we're ready.
Right on. Well, didn't know if you had anything you want to talk about, but I had a couple different stories that I was reading. One in particular is actually a noise that someone had recorded in their house, and we can get to that in a little bit. But they were basically recording songs. This was, I think, 2-3 nights ago, and they left the Audacity on the whole night, and they were skimming through their audio afterwards and realized basically in the middle of it there was just this completely out of place noise that sounds like some type of weird creature laughing. So we'll get to that in a second. I'll load it up, but we'll have to get your opinion on it and if anyone's listening in theirs. But first story, at least I wanted to get your opinion on and talk about. There is a lady who is claiming she's been forced for whatever reason by this. It's going to sound a little crazy. There's a ghost, which he calls a satanic goat, and this is in this English village that's called St. Osynth. I think I'm saying that right. And there's all the land around it is basically where these medieval prisons were, medieval grounds, villages where people died and were tortured. There was, you know, everyone stabbing each other with swords and axes and brutal things. And this ghost, goat, keeps popping up in all these pictures. And when I say goat, I don't mean a literal goat in the sense that it's alive. There's pictures of this ghost goat popping up all over the place. That it's we've taken pictures before with cameras and gotten similar. I know there's one on the website that you can, you know, see the outline of what looks to be like a woman by the fireplace. There's one that was supposed to be up there. Not sure if it is, that if you look in the window in the same group of shots, you can see what looks to be the outline of a dog. Never have heard one with a goat, though. I know the goat and the ram and all that have been associated with rituals like in satanic practices. And obviously, if you, you know, read the Bible, people sacrifice them, and just kind of an interesting animal. It's a firm to be popping up all over the place in all these pictures. I thought it was kind of interesting. And the lady said it's getting to the point where people are taking pictures and she's taking pictures and all this keeps popping up. So she's going to sell the house. And they're wondering why no other things are popping up really, except for the outline of this goat. And didn't know if you heard about that one or had an opinion.
Well, yeah, I just find it interesting that a picture of an animal would, I mean, is that the reason then for selling the property?
Basically, the fear behind it, it's it keeps popping up, and it's a satanic looking in the pictures goat. It looks like a hooded outline, nothing nice, and the fact that it keeps popping up in more and more pictures and have been popping up in pictures for decades, it's kind of the final straw, and just kind of wants to sell the place. Not literally horrifically terrified, just kind of interesting little story. It's this old medieval town, so for there to be this constant fear of this goat picture popping up. If that was interesting,
right? But, was there any other instances other than the goat you had mentioned? I don't think that there was. So regardless of whether there was a cemetery there or not, apparently there's nothing else supernatural going on in the vicinity.
Well, that's what some people had asked, and she had a quote. She said, "I always knew there was something really bad here, not just ghosts, but something dark and unnatural. I could feel it." Then she said, "On another occasion, I was pushed when I was standing in the top hallway. Other times, I was sitting there and witnessed objects whiz across the room." She would describe the cottage as basically being creepy, just paranormal overall. But as far as the evidence with pictures they were getting, it was a goat, which was interesting. And this was on the Russian Times website, so this was not a bizarre, random out there one. So there's all sorts of interviews with her, but things flying across the room. Really kind of interesting article. So.
Yeah, interesting. I heard of that one before. So pictures really would tell the tale. Certainly those could be faked or whatnot, but with other evidences and personal testimony and stuff, you could have to give it some sort of credibility. And, you know, we'll see with the new, maybe if the new owners, once you sell, what if they have anything to say about it. You know, that'd be interesting.
Yes. Yeah, and I guess, who knows, I wouldn't put that information out there if I were trying to sell, but there's, unless people are really going to the place looking for a paranormal property. But, yes, so... Did you have any stories, by the way, I forgot to ask, or maybe I did, that you wanted to talk about, or I can just keep going down the list?
Yeah, I could keep going. I haven't really researched anything today. I've been kind of busy, but as far as news goes and things like that, but we can cover any topics or any topics that anybody wants to call in with. We're more than welcome to cover anything, so we're open about anything.
Right on. Well, this next one I was going to, I'm going to have to plug in the speaker real quick. So this person describes that they were, like I mentioned in the beginning of the show, that they were recording songs and they left on the Audacity all night, and it, this bizarre noise pops up in the middle of it. And the clip's only 6 seconds long, so they've narrowed it down just to where you can hear the noise. And I'll have to turn up the volume, but hopefully I can get it to where you can hear it okay. If not, I'll have to move on to the next one, but very bizarre. So we'll have to pull it up real quick, and I will shut up now, and I'll play it a few times. So if you hear the noise on repeat, I'm just going to keep repeating it. And let's go. And here we go. Dan, were you able to hear that all right?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like somebody just kind of coughing or something to me. Unless somebody's moving a can or something possibly. I mean, I'm sure the audio would be really difficult over the phone to diagnose for sure, but it sounded like somebody just kind of coughing or clearing their throat or something.
Right. Well, what was interesting was where the recording was, were nowhere. They left it on accidentally all night, and no one was in there, no one sleeping. It was in a completely separate part of the house that no one is in. So it just, they noticed that in the middle of the night with all the, similar to, we've set up recorders. It's occasionally we'll get them set off, especially by the trains that go by if they're out there or whatever may make some type of noise for them to really capture. But it was the only form of them looking on the technology of noise popping up. So for no one to be around there and them to hear that is really what freaked the guy out. So he posted it online and was asking everyone their opinion about it, and it was just kind of an interesting noise, and it was loud enough for his microphone to pick it up, which is certainly, you know, you can't just the wind blow with the mics on and it picks up. It was, you know, the technology that when a noise happens, that's when it starts recording, so kind of interesting one to...
It almost sounds like did he have other devices in the background running and they were left on too, and then they ran out of tape or whatever and shut off? Could that be a possibility, maybe, that if he had a tape recorder and it ran out to the end of the tape and it click pop instead of a manual analog tape. It could have looked, you know, and shut off, or maybe he had other equipment in there, but that would have to remain to be seen as far as what he was using to record and why he was recording in the first place. Did he already hear something previously? Were they on a ghost, you know, hunting adventure? What were they doing there in the first place?
So they were recording songs, and they had left it on when they were recording songs all night. And it was just running all night, and they recorded in a separate area, obviously, for noise purposes, and they sleep. And then they noticed the next day that just that was on there, but no one was in there, so it kind of freaked him out. And he did say he tried to recreate everything in the room, like all everything that was around there to try and get the similar noise to happen and couldn't. So just, you know, nothing over the top crazy, but I always like little noises that people come up with, and it's
well, if they go out of their way to, you know, post it and everything, then, you know, they're pretty excited about it, apparently. So, interesting.
Absolutely. Yep, and are you familiar, by the way, I don't know if we mentioned this last show, but the show X-Files, were you a fan of it back in the 90s when it was on? Do you recall that
one? Not really. I've seen maybe an episode or two back in the day, but I just remember not necessarily watching it religiously like maybe other people have. I've seen it maybe once or twice, maybe a decade or so ago or whatever it was. So I really not for sure what's up with that. Apparently the new one is a new one out or whatever that was pretty interesting. So, but I don't really know the details of it. I mean, I know the characters, the main characters, what their job is and all that. But as far as the each individual show, maybe bringing up some points about what might be happening in real life or in the future or in the past is something I can't diagnose because I haven't seen the show enough. So.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, no, they're revamping the show, but one thing interesting behind it is it's now, I don't think they have stats or percentages, but it's just the UFO community is blowing up now that they have this revamp in it. So all sorts of new MUFON reports are coming in of UFO sightings all over the place, everywhere you can think of in the United States, and people are correlating it that this is a problem thanks to X-Files bringing back their show. So I guess we've talked about that before, though, with constant sightings of UFOs being related to media events or being related to maybe someone else reporting it and it's popular in an area. And is it possible UFOs are increasing? Not to say related to the show, is this increasing of sightings going on, or is this just people trying to jump on the bandwagon?
Yeah, I mean, it's easy enough. We now have technology these days. Yeah, I could go out and for a couple $100 buy a little, drone, little hovercraft of some kind, and attach a little light to it that I could turn on and off or change colors. Fly a couple hundred feet in the air, and then somebody driving by on the highway would look up and see this weird light that would maybe fade out and disappear, and it looked like a spaceship flying away. So the problem is now that we've had technology to maybe get this information out, it also comes to terms that we've got technology that can be faked. And so, you know, it's really one of those kind of interesting times to live in, because I really think that there probably are real crafts such as these things, but, you know, as far as being able to know truthfully whether they're humanities or another entity altogether is kind of what I think the question is, and I think what X-Files tries to, you know, get into and things like that as far as explaining who really might be behind it, you know, as far as that's concerned. I mean, technology has gotten to the point where we could see ourselves doing these things. So is it a fanciful idea just to say that they're creatures from another planet and they're here for this reason or that reason? Or is it the same old proverbial story of the gods returning and, you know, Planet X and all those other things that people have been talking about for decades now? The technology is there, I think, to do either, or at least trick people into thinking there's something going on. But we like to entertain all ideas when it comes to that. So, UFO reports, a reinsurgence because of a new X-Files. That maybe have some truth to it. I think you might have something there as far as that goes. But if people just go outside and look up, That would be a start, I suppose. But
right, and are they doing that now just because there's a show
right.
that's now popping up that's, again, a popular... Cause, yeah, for a while, it's been vampires. It's been... zombies was popular for a little bit. Now it's, you know, they're starting to go back to the alien UFO things for these media shows that are, you know, popular. And
right.
I, who knows if the revamp of the show will actually be as good as the original. Cause my, I watched the show a little bit, but I was always a fan of it. Every once in a while, it seems there's just a media event that happens that people want to start seeing things. And, you know, we've had the Bigfoot thing popping up, and I don't know how many Bigfoot TV shows and people claiming now that they've seen Bigfoot and killed one or gone to war with one, and not discrediting them. But it's interesting when a show pops up about it, how people come out from the woodwork. And I don't know if that's related to it or if it's, you know, that's their way of getting known or how it really is.
And if you notice, too, what's going on with the media is that they're becoming sort of like advertising and stuff like that, where it's all sort of too good to be true, and they hype it up so much, and then when you watch the program, you're completely disappointed because it's like, oh, it didn't really even show anything. It was just a hoax. It's just a, it was just a ruse to get people to watch, and by the end of the show, you're like, why did I watch this? You know, and it seems like that really puts a damper, in a, you know, on the real-life situations that might be going on, because the TV shows that do make it to mainstream are just so cheeseball sometimes that it sort of just puts a bad light on it, you know, because of some of the things that are just overhyped, or they're, you know, what we had experiences with the last Bigfoot thing that they had out, and then the Bob Lazar thing, and things like that, where seemingly with sort of disappointment because no new information is coming out. They're just trying to, you know, capitalize on some hysteria that's already out there by putting out a show, you know. So I really, you
right.
know, I think you got to find your information underground, which we do, you know. So it's not like we're really too much abreast on the popular shows of the day, but, you know, we could read into it somewhat anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And but as far as new information goes, one other thing I'd say is it possible, and it's primarily related to UFOs, is it possible for us to get any new, actual new information without experiencing contact with one physically, being able to investigate it from an internal point, or I guess with technology available now, could you possibly read or scan a UFO to be able to get some new information, or is it always just going to be pictures, videos, and hearsay? I think with new information would be something that, and this is the whole idea behind the Roswell thing, obviously, if one crashed and you had physical evidence, something you could study. There hasn't been a lot of cases, I feel like, credible ones that are UFO crashed, unidentified objects that people have been able to study, and it being new technology. And if it has, then the people have identified it, yes, as a drone or some type of craft someone designed, and it was a prank or whatever it was. But for the longest time, you haven't heard a real live story of, especially with the government getting involved and blocking things off and not answering questions with unidentified objects. It's just been a lot of pictures and videos from a distance. So I wonder how long it'll be until we actually are able to have some technology where we can see something and look at it from a distance, up close, scan it, whatever it may be, even when it's however far away it is.
Well, that's the question, Mike, because you brought it up. It's just that, what's the new information? There's all these 130,000 documents that's been released and all these documents, but documents with somebody's writing on it with some blacked out scribbles, you know, covering up certain things. That, to me, is not new information. That has to do with personnel and where they were at, what they're doing, and all this kind of stuff. But, yeah, where's the information about what kind of propulsion system that is used on these devices? Where's the information on what kind of super, you know, ultra aluminum are they using on these craft or the shells? What kind of, you know, as far as what their intentions might be and all that kind of stuff. Those are all questions that humanity would like to know if there was such a thing. So it's one of those things like, yeah, we've had the same information, what, for as long as I've been alive, it's been the same information. And regardless of whether, you know, how many people you think are releasing documents and all these people are sort of on the bandwagon, yeah, we still have yet to see any concrete proof And like I said, and if you actually interview people, it's the testimony of the people that are the most credible, simply because these people's lives are changed. And you can see that, and you can kind of quantify that, and you can measure that, and you can see the difference maybe in that way. And there's also other people, obviously, who've had things found in their body that shouldn't have been in there, and they seem to be technologically advanced and all of that. So I think really that that's kind of maybe where it lies, but could it be that it's humanity doing this to itself? That's always been the opposite question of what, you know, the debate is about, is whether or not they're ETs or whether or not it's just humanity working on itself. But yeah, credible evidence. Where is it at? Where's the new stuff? Where's the, you know, obviously we, you know, in all culture, that's kind of how it is. Like whatever secret planes they were testing at Roswell back in the 40s and 50s, they're just now talking about, oh, we've got this now. So we're always, as the public, about 20, 30 years behind when it comes to any kind of stealth technology or anything. So if you can imagine, like 30 years ago, they had a stealth bomber. Well, what could they have right now that we're not going to know about for 30 years? You know, so certainly human beings are smart enough when you get together and you have collaboration. You can probably do about anything if you have the resources and the money. You certainly know that there's plenty of black projects and money that go to places and funds that go to areas that we have no idea where they're going or what they're doing with the money. And that's taxpayer stuff. Although we're kept out of the loop, it's sort of odd.
Right. Well, and a lot of it, too, if you think about defense spending, the amount of money that goes into military projects, which, you know, great. It is great that we have the military that we have, or, you know, throughout the way that history has gone. I mean, who knows where we actually would have been if it weren't for the military, and from the standpoint of it being that, you know, it's we're still semi-free here. I mean, it's not horrible,
right.
And I'm thankful for that. But the money that goes into defense spending, who knows where it really goes? I mean, obviously the equipment they use and they build is through the roof, but how hard would it be to funnel some of that money or use some of that into these technologies and experiments that may or may not be going on? And maybe some of that's going towards things they found in Roswell. And I know last time, and it's been a while, we talked to Roger Skywatcher. He said he had some new information for us about Roswell. And that was actually, I think, right around the time the documents came out. The 100 or 70 or 80 or however many thousands of the new documents came out. But what was left out of those documents was Roswell information, and there was absolutely nothing about that. So for it to always be left so secret, I think, is kind of one you have to scratch your head about. But what happened there is so different than the ones that they're letting people know about that have been all over the world. And some of them that they mentioned happened around uranium sites, which – that was another question I had for you. Why would there be constant UFO sites and nonstop pictures and even on radar from like Air Force bases and air traffic control and everything like that, they would capture on radar things that they would report that would then disappear. And this is all around uranium sites. So why do you think that would be?
Well, if they are outer world or inner world or ET of some kind, there's evidences of natural uranium and things like that doing damage and actually causing explosions and things like that naturally, even if they're in high enough concentrations. But I can imagine it's a point of danger, certainly, as well as a highly secured refinement process as well, and an interest not only in states, but governments and whole entire countries are, you know, would be interested in that kind of thing. So, yeah, interesting. I mean, it is a, you know, we use it for certain things, but I seriously doubt that any major, you know, maybe craft that could travel in outer space would need that or would be interested in that particular substance themselves. I don't really see that. It could just be more of a monitoring capacity where you're just monitoring how much they're pulling out and what kind of procedures they're using to do it and where it's going. And, you know, because you want to know where that stuff's going. And it's one of those things that there's plenty of uranium mines around, but I'm sure they're secured sites things like that. And so I don't know necessarily that they would be using them for any kind of power or anything, but I think it's just more of a keeping tabs on who does have the earring.
Right. Yeah, and I personally don't know anything about uranium or nuclear physics or any of the subjects that would be related to any of it, so I would not have an opinion. I just thought that was interesting that there's these kind of top secret resource spots with UFO sites going on, and it simply could be military technology. It could be maybe enemy people trying to spy on these sites or something with technology that can't be picked up on radar, and there's a lot of different options, and excuse me, I'm starting to lose my voice a little bit, so moving on, one other subject totally unrelated I was going to bring up at some point, and I know we've talked about it before, were dreams, and we've talked about lucid dreams, and we've talked about who was it that called in? There was a lady that had called in before that was having dreams about owls and not necessarily dreams about them, but she was having nightmares, and she said there was...
There was an owl outside her place where she lived, and it would come and sit. And after the owl would leave, she would still see the face or the image of the face of the owl still sitting in the tree after the owl had left. And that was what her thing was.
Right. Okay. Well, I thought she had a dream about it. Regardless, we've talked about dreams a little bit, but... I didn't know your opinion on people have dreams every once in a while where they see someone in there that they may or may not know. Person could be alive, not alive. Do you think that dreams can serve as a warning sign or some type of there's the idea that people can visit you, in your dreams or in daydreams or from an alternate dimension that may be like a doppelganger to you. Maybe you from the future that's coming to warn you about something or coming to let you know or give you some type of sign where they can't actually communicate, but they can give you some little distinct sign for you can try and make up a decision based off it. And, people may or may not believe that, but do you think possibly dreams can be associated with warnings? Can maybe the future, other dimensions possibly use dreams as a way to warn someone from the past or the future? What are your opinions on that?
It's a great subject because there's no shortage of theories and people to talk about it. Maybe we can get a listener or something that got an opinion about it. But there's many different types of dreams and dream states and people who claim this, that, and the other thing about them. And if you look at history and our biblical teachings and things like that, you have people that were able to apparently interpret the dreams, even though they were very strange, to be able to interpret the dreams in and of themselves as a message about the future, and kings would hire people to do this so that they could find out what's going on with their kingdom and whether somebody's trying to overthrow them and all that. So back in the ancient days, it certainly was more in the forefront than it is now. And not only that, this may be the fact that we're so busy with our own daily lives and all this stuff that we bombard ourselves with that it's people aren't dreaming as much, because you have to be in a certain amount of restful state and have to be kind of stress-free in order to have a lucid dream, I think. I think that's really what's going on. And it's one of those things that, as far as warnings go and maybe predicting the future or telling you something about the future or maybe meeting somebody that you haven't met yet, those are all possibilities. But what I would equate that with is something like our dreams are actually like a subcategory of ability that we either never had or should have or lost at one time. Like, it's part of our subconscious think that it's maybe just a remnant of something that maybe it should be a power that we should have, that if in its fullness would be something different, maybe be more psychic or more, something that would allow you to be telepathic or something like that. Maybe dreams are just a remnant of what that kind of ability would be. And that's kind of my take on as far as what it might be. But I've had dreams where I've realized that I was in the dream and could kind of do whatever I wanted to do and realize that I could do whatever I wanted to do. And, a lot of people have dreams about flying around and stuff and being able to fly. And I've also had other dreams where, you'd be on a swing set or something like that, and then all of a sudden you get thrown 100 feet in the air and you get all tense and you freak out and then you wake up or whatever. But, there's some other information that I've heard recently out there, and it comes to the dream status. Why is it that, I guess, these people that are talking about how they do lucid dreaming and the feeling that they get knowing that they can live their life in this dream and do whatever they want and how free they feel? And why is it, so basically our lives are like a big dream state. After we're dead, we're not, it's going to be a dream to us or whatever. So why don't we live our lives like every day is a dream and we have endless possibilities and we can do whatever we want? Why don't we live our lives like we're in a dream state, like we have the power to do anything that we want? We're so structured and everything that in our real lives that only in our dreams can come out our desire to be free and do what we want to do at any given moment. And,
right.
You know, certainly that in history, it teaches us that, yeah, they did interpret those dreams and they did, you know, what factually or not, I don't really know, but through stories and through our biblical text, that there is evidence of people saying that, yeah, your dreams can, you know, maybe predict the future if you have somebody that has the ability to read those interpretations, because dreams are so bizarre that any interpretation could be possibly the right one. And so you would think you'd have to be a really special kind of person in order for somebody to hire you to be able to tell you what their dreams are. So you could have a bunch of people calling in to me right now and they could tell me what their dreams are, and I could make a guess at what those dreams might mean and what the interpretation is, but they would just be a guess. But it may be right as well, even if it's a guess. So, you know, as I said, I think dreams are something that maybe is part of an ability that is more than, or it's actually less right now than what it should be, but we just can't tap into it wholly. And some people can, some people more, and there's the whole astral projection and all that. So there are people that have studied that and gotten deep into it. But does it affect their life in a positive way? Does it make them more free to know possibly the interpretation of their dreams, or would it just make them fearful of the future if it had bad news coming your way or something like that? Would you then not accept it because it wasn't, you know, roses and peaches? Dreams are one of those kind of things that, you know, for the most part, you know, some people have nightmares and stuff. I never really have, you know, that kind of thing going on with me, but, you know, whether or not they mean something, I think they mean a great deal, but, you know, as far as equating it to your waking life and what it might mean for you in your own life and in the future, that is such a huge open-ended question that we might have to get a real guest on as far as somebody that has studied this all.
We actually have someone on the line right now that is calling in, so I'll go ahead and get him on real quick, and let's see. Hey, can you hear us all right?
Hey, yeah.
How's it going?
Oh, hey, hello there. Good.
Hey, it's Alex again. I called the other night. I just thought I'd call back again. I heard you guys talking about dreams. I'm kind of interested in that.
Yeah,
I've had
quite
a few myself.
Right, we had a good conversation last time. So you have your sort of own opinion on the dreams. I'm wondering, as far as the caller goes, have you ever had a lucid dream where you woke up in the dream and realized that you were in a dream and then made a decision to do something cognitively in the dream that manifested itself in the dream and you were able to accomplish this or whatever it is? Have you ever had something like that?
Oh, most definitely. Actually, I have pretty vivid dreams on a daily basis. And it depends, you know. Some nights when I drink, I have less dreams than I do when I don't drink. You know, I think also the substances that you put in your body manifest dreams as well. You know, like the saying you are what you eat can also be the saying you are what you dream.
All right.
But for me, yeah, I have positive dreams and I have negative dreams. And I'm not a dream reader or anything, but there's a lot of good outcomes that can come from nightmares. So everybody probably thinks of nightmares as these big scary things that are not good for you, but actually it's your subconscious trying to deal with something that you can't deal with in your conscious state of mind. So you project it in a dream. Like, I'll give you an example. Let's say you have a dream where you're dying, or for me, I'm scared of heights. Even though I've dealt with heights a lot in my life, I'm scared of them. And so I've had dreams where I've fallen. And, you know, it is true. You're not going to die in a dream, you know. You'll wake up before you do. But oftentimes when you have dreams like this, you wake up feeling refreshed, a little scared, but refreshed, because when you have dreams like this, you wake up being grateful for what you have, because in your dream, something really bad has happened, and then you go and look at your life. So it's actually an uplifting moment in a dream. So I feel like dreams are really there to help us in a way and, you know, spark imagination and inspiration.
Okay, how about this? Let's get off on this a little bit and go a little deeper. How about there's evidence out there that shows that people that are healthy and that people that have a healthy body and a healthy lifestyle, it's good for you to get in a situation where your life is actually threatened and you're in a fight or flight mode, which means that your body goes into a different mode and the adrenaline and stuff starts to pump. That in itself really apparently healthy for you to have in your life. So what happens when you're dreaming, and that happens in your dream state, you're physically still going through those, and that's still physically having an effect on your body, just like when you try to run, you get caught up in the covers and you can't run and you don't know why. So when you have a fight or flight moment or a really scary dream, could that just be the body's way of actually helping itself by putting itself in a situation, even in a dream state, which would allow the body to help itself and to heal itself by putting it in a fight or flight mode where it has to burn fat, where it has to, you know, speed up, accelerate, and do all these things? Is it the body's way, possibly, of giving us this fight or flight mode without having to be in real-life situations? Because we're living in a modern society where we don't come across deathly circumstances every day unless you're a, you know, motocross racer or you're a, you know, somebody that does daredevil stunts for a living. We don't put ourselves in those situations like people thousands of years ago did on a daily basis. So could it be that our dreams are doing this to us on purpose to help our bodies and to, you know, because like I said, you talk about dreams and being scared, you feel like you were refreshed when you woke up. That's because your body reacted to what your subconscious dream state was. And did it do that by itself? Did it do it for its own health? What's really going on there? Do you kind of agree with what I'm talking about there?
Well, I mean, in some situations, yeah, I do. I feel like the body is trying to help you out, but I feel like all throughout history, it's been interpreted as a warning more than as a positive embracing moment. So if you have a dream that is typically scary, you would have a dream reader tell you what it means. And most of the time it would mean something devastating or, in their opinions, you know, something not good, because, you know, when we don't understand something, we usually just see the worst in it before we see the good in it. But I think that dreams do happen to help you have cognitive development in your mind and to make you more conscious of your surroundings and who you are. I just think that it's part of your brain that still we are trying to study extensively and have not come across a whole lot about our subconscious. So it's still a mystery of why we dream and what they mean, but for me, I have had quite a few vivid dreams where, yes, I have had control in my dreams, and dreams may last a couple weeks in the state of my mind. You know, it may not be just a one deal or 1 hour thing. You know, a dream could be drawn out over weeks. And when you have dreams like that, you're usually in a deeper state of sleep, a deeper state of mind, to allow your mind to slip into this almost alternate reality of existence, this plane of existence that's there. You know, if you've ever seen the movie Inception, they do a really good detailed job about breaking down the levels of dreaming and how you can dream. So I've been in the second stage of dreaming quite a few times. And honestly, I've been back to dreams. Like, it's not like a one-time thing. I'll come back to it and be in the same place again and the same thing over and over again. But I'll tell you a little story. When I was younger, I was scared of tornadoes and storms because I got caught in one as a kid. It really terrified me. Even now, to this day, I mean recently, I've had dreams like in the middle of a dream, out of nowhere, here comes a tornado, and I have to deal with it in my dream, and I have to hide and I take shelter. But it passes and everything's okay. But for that time being, I'm pretty sure it's my mind telling me that you may be worried about life, you may be stressed out about some stuff, but there's always going to be a calm after the storm, just like there is before the storm. You know,
right.
So I think...
Yeah, what I was suggesting is that when you go through that moment in the dream, your brain and your body is reacting as if it was real.
Oh, definitely, yes. I feel like you do produce the chemical compounds that you would produce in a conscious state of mind, you know, such as serotonin and other chemicals can be produced, like when you have a happy dream or a very pleasureful dream. You know, it produces things in your body that are natural compounds there. And so, yeah, you're very much still awake when you sleep. Your mind is, for the most part. But does everybody experience dreams that are vivid and they can feel like they live in? No, I don't think so. I think you have to be open to it.
Right.
What do you think, as far as you know, and Max, you as well, what kind of percentage of people that you've met in your life have either had lucid dreams or don't dream at all? Is there really people that don't have any dreams at all or just don't ever remember them? What is this theory about writing your dreams down right when you wake up so that you can remember them better? Does that work?
Well, my brother used to tell me to do that. He told me to always write things down, and I never did. I tried it for the littlest bit of time, but I have had dreams before that I have wanted to tell people, especially when I was younger and I had nightmares and I was scared. I would always want to tell like my parents what they were, but I would forget them almost immediately. And I don't know the scientific reason why you clearly remember something in the exact way it went down 1 second when you wake up, and then once your mind starts, you know, firing more, than you forget it. I don't know why, but as far as people who dream, I feel like most people I know, at least around me, do dream. I don't know on a basis how much, simply because I feel like for whatever reason people don't talk about their dreams as much unless they're real open. I talk to some people about dreams, but for whatever reason that's kind of a personal subject for people. I don't know if that's because of most people who have dreams, it's usually the people involved in it. For me, for example, I have dreams about people I have not talked to in 5-6 years, and I'll have flashbacks to, like, I had a dream a couple weeks ago that I was in middle school, and I remembered people I wouldn't have remembered for, if you told me their name, I wouldn't remember them, but then they were in my dreams, and I suddenly remembered who they were again, and I don't know if there's, like, it's a way of also accessing lost information in your memory, or possibly bringing up.
Honestly, with that type of dream, I really think that there's your mind trying to tell you to connect with old friends in your past, you know, and don't forget about them. Honestly, whenever people get brought up in your dreams, they're getting brought up for a reason. Now, if the dream's a nightmare and it's a bad reason, maybe be a little bit weary of that person, but if it's a pleasant one and they're there and they're friendly, it could be your mind telling you to be socially active with these people or remembering these type of people.
Why is it that you just mentioned, though, the state? Why is it that your dream state can access memories better than your waking state can? Isn't that the deal? Like, you remember those people clear as a bell in a dream, but you barely remember them in real life? I mean, isn't that weird how our dream state can seemingly access information more accurately and clearly? Because I've had situations, too, similarly, where I would come up with an idea or something that I thought was great and then immediately forget it. But, you know, it's one of those things, like, why would our subconscious dream state have more access to our memory than our waking state? Is there any answer to that?
If you're asking me for an answer, I don't have a specific one. But I would say that generally when your conscious state of mind is offline, like when you sleep, it allows access to part of your brains that aren't being used when you're conscious, because when you're in a conscious state of mind, you're full power. You're using every freaking sensory in your brain. You know, when you're asleep, you're triggering things in your brain that normally aren't triggered, things that you may not normally think about. And our brains are very, very technologically advanced and store all types of memory. So, you know, for your subconscious to access something to better you as a person, I think really is what dreams are all about. I mean, there's dreams, like, let's say you're getting chased down and you get trapped, or you're running away from something, or you fall into something and you get trapped, or whatever it is. If you're getting trapped or you can't get out of something, that's usually a symbol of something going on in your life where you feel powerless, like where you wish you could change it, but you can't. And so you continually have these dreams about being trapped and not getting out of something until you actually resolve that part in your life that makes you feel that way. And once you do, your dreams will change, you know. See, for me, I had a lot of dreams of fear of, like, bombs going off and bad weather and all these horrible, like, situations that can naturally occur in our life. And as I become more self-aware of my fear and who I am, the less intense these dreams have become over time.
Okay.
You know?
Right.
I feel
and
like
I hate
if
to
you deal with
them.
Go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt. We got another caller coming in right now that has been waiting on the line, I see, for a few minutes that may or may not want to be talking about dreams. So I'm going to go ahead and let them in on the conversation and let's see what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, can you hear us okay?
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, speak up.
Can you hear us okay?
Yeah, I can't stay long. I just come up here right now, but I just call it. I'm a big fan, but I also just had one quick question.
And you're kind of – can you guys hear them okay?
Well,
no.
You speak up a little bit. Yeah, it's hard to hear.
Yeah, we're you're not coming through very well.
Can you hear me okay now?
Yeah, a little better.
Okay, well, I'm a big fan, but I just had one question. I was in my
we're having a real tough time hearing you. I apologize, but if there's any way you could speak up, otherwise we might have to have your call back in.
Can you
hear
me
better
now?
Yeah, go ahead and state your case there, and we'll see if we can get it through.
Okay, well, I was in my house and we had a few pop bottles stacked on top of each other, and we were all just sitting around, just hanging out there, and just out of nowhere, there was four of them, and the top three just go flying across the room, and we tried to kind of reenact it by setting them back on top of each other, bumping into the table or stomping around it to see if one of us could have done it, but it just didn't fall that same way, and it took a lot of force.
Interesting. So physical objects moving without there being anything present that you saw to move them. What were you guys doing there at the time?
We were just sitting there around the fire just talking about just chewing the fat.
And did it bring up about a scary feeling or a feeling of dread or something? Or did you guys
more of just feel like somebody's watching you type of feeling.
Yeah, that's been equated to a lot of different.
Did they go flying across the room, or did they just fall? Because there's a big difference between flying and falling.
They probably went about 5 feet.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay, yeah. So you couldn't, if they were just knocked off the table by somebody bumping into it or something, they would have just fallen off straight down, most likely. They actually went a good distance sideways or whichever way they fell. That's really weird. Obviously, was there any windows open? Was there a breeze? Is there anything else that could have possibly created it?
Nope, and a breeze would not have been strong enough to do that, I can tell you that.
Oh, were they full pop bottles?
Not full, but there was still some soda left in.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Were you guys talking about something that would maybe make a spirit or anything like that feel uncomfortable?
Well, I mean, we've always
acknowledging
had
somebody's presence that wasn't there, possibly.
Well, a while back, we were all in there, kind of same thing, and one of my friends took a picture, and if you look closely, there was a little girl in one of it, or an older woman, just some sort of figure, and we were just asking if any sort of spirit or anything is there like that, and then just boom, out of nowhere, that happened.
Made the little girl or the figures upset. I mean, in history, taking a photography, people used to think of it as stealing a soul. And, you know, if they're already in spirit form and you're trying to talk about them and take their picture, you may have upset them a little bit, and that may have been their way of trying to say, we don't like you doing that.
Right.
Well, we got out right after that, safe to say.
Well,
go back and do some more investigating,
and,
or maybe. Yeah, go ahead, Max.
No, I was just saying, that is interesting. I don't know if there's any video evidence or anything, but sounds like you're coughing away there, so we won't keep you on the line too much longer.
Yeah,
if you,
sorry.
No problem at all. And we got another caller coming in right now, but we appreciate the call. And again,
we'll
keep us
it.
Updated if there's any other reoccurrences of that.
All right, thank you.
Again,
big fan. Have a good night. Thank you.
Thank you. Interesting. Yeah, very flying cans. We've had reports of that on other shows as well. I don't know what to make of it.
Yeah.
Really, we'll have to see if we get more evidence.
We got someone that's been on the line for about 4 minutes now, so I'm going to go ahead and get to them and see if they have something related to dreams or this or anything else that we've been talking about. So
okay, cool.
Get them on now. And hi, how's it
Hello.
Going?
Hi, how are you?
Oh, great.
Doing good.
Hi, this is Jake, the student from the student from Manhattan. If you remember me, I called in a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I just wanted to. How are you?
Good.
I just wanted to talk to you about. You had mentioned dreams, and I just wanted to share. Sometimes when I have a dream, and it's a vivid dream, I won't. Maybe like a week later, I will. It'll be kind of the thing where I'm doing the same thing, and then I'll be like, and then I'll think to myself, "Holy crap, I dreamed this." So it's not like an immediate thing. Sometimes
deja vu,
but
right?
Sometimes I do
vu.
Get strange deja vu. Yeah, when I have dreams like that.
Yeah. So have you ever had a dream then you consciously came through like a week later? That's happened to me before, where somebody that you meet or something like that, and then suddenly the dream kind of manifests itself a few days later. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, and then a lot of the times I won't even remember what the actual dream was. I'll just think to myself, I dreamed this, and it'll be a weird sensation of deja vu.
Right. Huh.
Yeah, that's kind of what we mentioned earlier, too, about dreams having the ability to bring up maybe information or memories or something that's in your brain that you wouldn't normally remember was there, or past memories or something like that. I was mentioning I would have dreams about people, for example, from middle school or from when I was a kid that, I may in the back of my mind remember them, but for whatever reason, the dream brings those old memories back up. And it could simply be that when you have that deja vu feeling that you do remember the dream still. You do remember what happened in the back of your mind, but it's just being brought back up by you, that similar feeling, that similar thought being ran through your brain. And I've had that too, but I think that's one of the creepiest feelings for people when you don't remember it, when something seems familiar and you can't remember why, especially if it's completely unfamiliar to you. I've met people before, and I've had experiences that, for whatever reason, I felt like I had been in that same place before, but I just couldn't quite piece it together. And then that's when you kind of question your mind. And, Alex had mentioned earlier that about, what you put in your body, too. If, you drink a lot of alcohol or you take prescription drugs or whatever it is you put in your body, different types of effects can, happen in your brain, and you may or may not remember things, or the way that things are processed in your brain may be completely different, and you may be able to have different experiences with certain compounds or certain substances
that other people
can't
sense.
When you're, especially with beer and, alcohol and everything. I feel like I've had very vivid, strange dreams from drinking alcohol before that kind of just brought up different experiences than if I don't drink and I just go to bed and have different dreams. So really interesting though. Yeah. Do you have a specific one that you ever remember that was deja vu, or do you never really remember? You just kind of know that you've been there and had that thought or, dream before.
Yeah. So sometimes it'll be like maybe a week later, but sometimes I won't even really remember the dream I had. This thing happens and I think, holy crap, I dreamed this. And like I said, I don't even remember the dream. So,
yeah, what do you think about maybe, Alex, do you think that possibly this is part of a precognition or something like that, where there's people that have evidences of actually being able to predict the future in small detail, and I'm wondering if that is through the dream state, is this part of a precognition or something like that, where you can your dream state is actually just preparing you maybe spiritually for something that's going to happen to you in the future.
Well, I feel like that could be the case. I often tell people to be more optimistic about their dreams than pessimistic, because it's usually a good outcome coming from it. But I do have one question for you. Where is the location of the dreams that keeps on recurring?
I mean, there really is no specific location. It could be anywhere. For an example, I don't really remember the dream, but sometimes I'll be with a person, or maybe in a classroom, and I'll think, this is deja vu, but I can't remember the dream I had. But like I said, I assume I dreamed it because I have deja vu about it.
Right.
So it's not necessarily a certain location, because I've experienced deja vu, and I often experience it in a recent location more than a past location. But from what you're telling me is you don't experience it in a certain location. It's more triggered by the people around you.
Yeah,
so
maybe
these people around you that you see in your dreams and have deja vu with have more influence in your life than what you really think that they do. People are very special. They're very precious in the earth. You know, we're all unique. We all have different attributes and characteristics about us. And so maybe one of them is subconsciously calling out to you somehow, and that's why you experience this deja vu with them. Or, you know, a lot of people in life, we make choices, right? And these choices define our route through life
right.
Who we become. And it may be in an alternate dimension, in an alternate life, you chose to be closer to this person. So this person speaks to you through dreams still, because, and maybe in a different life, you are very close to this person, but in this life now that you have a new route and a new course that you are taking. And this is something that I'm still skeptic about. I don't strongly believe in, because there's not a lot of scientific proof behind it, but it's a very good theory of why deja vu could occur.
Right.
That makes sense.
Cool.
All right, yeah, that makes sense. Well, I'm actually in the middle of some homework, but thank you for taking my call. This has been
great.
Big help. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And,
good to hear from you again, Jake, and hopefully we'll get you on again next time we have a show. We'll keep you updated, and let us know if you have any more deja vu. Maybe next time you have it, try and remember
what
Alex was saying, where it was at, and kind of what triggered it, even if you can't remember the dream, because that might help you. It's like that movie Memento or whatever. If you can remember something, it'll lead you to something. So just kind of keep heading in that direction, and maybe you'll, you know, piece some stuff together that'll help you wonder why you keep having feelings in certain areas. But appreciate the call, and have a good one, man.
You too. Big fan of the show. Thanks again. Bye.
Hey, this is Alex. I'd like to add something onto that real quick about his situation. And I believe that if you do have the situation, and that it is making you ponder or bothering you just a tad, that you should definitely write down this type of situation and in detail of what you can remember, and do not be afraid to address the other person in the dream and say, hey, man, I've had dreams about you lately. I don't really understand it. Maybe we should talk more or something, and see what response you get. You may get a response from them saying, well, I've had dreams about you too. And so if you get that type of response from somebody else, you know that there's something going on in the universe telling you to maybe talk a little bit more or something like that. So, you know, I have a good friend who lives down south, and I have dreams about him, you know, from time to time. And they encourage me the next day to call and talk to him. And maybe I wouldn't have that day, and maybe I wouldn't have made an influence on life for him that day and made him do something different than what he normally would have done. So maybe there is this big whole plan of the universe, and it's using our minds to shape it a little bit. You know, these dreams that people have definitely change their outcome for the next day and their perspective on life that day. So be very cautious of your dreams.
Could it be that your dreams actually have more of an influence than your waking life, and you just don't know it?
On your perspective, yes, I believe it does. You know, Because your conscious state of mind puts numbers and figures and symmetry to everything. You know, there is a reason why things work. There's a reason why things grow. There's a reason why this happens and that happens. But in your subconscious state of mind, there doesn't need to be any reason. In one dream, you could be walking down the road, and the next minute, you're flying in a spaceship through the sky. You know, so I think it's definitely an eye-opener to a lot of people when they dream.
Is there a way, do you think, guys, that we could quantify and make a survey of, say, several hundred people and say, look, these people have lots of dreams. This group of people doesn't have a lot of dreams. Let's analyze their life and see what the differences are. Would there be a difference between people who don't have a lot of dreams and people who have a lot of dreams? And what's the categories and what kind of difference between what kind of dreams, or if people just have bad dreams, or what about the people who just have good dreams? What's the difference in their lifestyle? What's the difference? Does it actually manifest itself differently? I wonder if there's such a survey out there.
Right. Well, you got to wonder, too, like people always talk about having a positive attitude and positive outlook on things. Maybe people like that are more correlated to have less nightmares or maybe more nightmares, or maybe people like that, you know, trying to shape and train your mind to think only a certain way. There's some people say that's an art and there's an ability to that, and that may or may not be true. I personally don't have experience with it. I'm not a big meditator. I haven't studied any of that stuff. I'm not discrediting it because I don't know anything really about it. But if you're able to possibly shape your mind a certain way, to think a certain way, could that also affect the way your dreams are projected? Could you be able to, we talk about lucid dreaming once you're in there, being able to control your dreams, but if there'd be a way to automatically know that you're only going to have a certain category of dreams before you go to bed, maybe a ritual of thinking certain things to shape your dreams, or is it possible? I mean, we talked about the Inception movie, Alex brought it up, but maybe through technology or some type of ritual, or maybe training your mind and having a certain, you know, way you do it, accessing the part of your brain to control your dreams before they even begin. And that's another question I had about them.
Well, it could be that science and our technology is on the verge of figuring that out. Because if you could map the human brain and then you could map what happens in the dream state, we know that your brain is hardwired over time. And the more you use those neural synapses, the more they get hardwired, and the more they use, and the easier they are to be used. And so if you train your mind in your waking life a certain way, then certainly that's going to affect what kind of dreams or where those firings go and what kind of pathways they take when you're in the dream state in your brain. So if we can train our brain in the living state and our waking state to reinforce certain neural pathways that lead us, you know, with this positive thinking idea, then we should be able to map that. And then, you know, you think they would have an outcome or at least maybe a change in your dream state because now your mind is firing differently. And is it the other way around? Is it possibly that your dreams are the ones that are actually reconfiguring your brain makeup and reinforcing these neural pathways more than your waking state? Is that maybe possible? Like I said, I think science is going to get to the point where we should be able to start mapping that out and then figure out, well, if you concentrate on this all day, maybe you're going to have great dreams at night, you know? So maybe there is a method or some sort of quantifying way that we could come about figuring out, look, these are the neural pathways that you have to reinforce in order to have, you know, waking, lucid dreams. These are the, you know, habits and moods that you have to be in order to reinforce these synapses in the brain, and rehardwiring your brain to think differently seemingly has to be done in a waking state. But could it be done in a dream state? And do our minds do that automatically? And that's part of what their play and what their role is in our subconscious waking state. You know, there's so many questions, and I love the whole topic simply because science may actually be able to do something about it now. Because before, in our previous history, no one can do anything but speculate on dreams. But now we've got technology that can map and watch the brain firing and seeing where these connections are happening and all that. But since we're all unique and we're all individual, then how could you have one computer program, say, that could map, you know, everybody? You really couldn't. We're all so individual, and one person's brain isn't going to have the same chemical makeup and fire exactly the same as one other person. So lots of different subjects to cover when it comes to the dream state. I don't know where you guys stand on it, but it's like, yeah, can we train our brain to be able to dream the way we want to?
I'd like to add something to it. It's Alex again. And yeah. I would like to say yes to that answer. We can train our dreams. And so what I'm about to explain, for the people that have nightmares and feel for dreams, this will appeal to you more than people that have happy dreams, but there will be a part of this that encourages people that have happy dreams to keep having happy dreams. So if you have fearful or nightmare dreams, you're often putting fearful or evil things into your body that you're not aware of subconsciously. You know, when you watch a show about murder, or when you see these scary things on TV, you're putting these images into your mind for your mind to process and break down. And a dream may be you trying to handle what you just put into your mind and process and break down. Now, see, if you look at Einstein, people always wonder why the guy's so smart, what makes him so different. Well, he had a very weird sleeping pattern. He would sleep only 4 hours in a day, but he would sleep 20 minutes every hour. And that allowed his brain to process things.
Hmm.
Yeah, if I can jump in real quick, I actually had just read something on dreams that they referred to night owls, not literally owls, if you ever heard the term night owl. People who stay up all night and get very little amounts of sleep, or maybe they do get good sleep, but they're up all night, whatever it is, they have a regular sleep schedule, but they said that they dream more and that they have more vivid, lucid dreams. And maybe that has something to do with being so tired that you get deeper sleep when you actually do lay down than someone that takes naps all day and is really centered around sleeping. And I wasn't familiar with Einstein in that theory. That makes me feel better because I stay up late sometimes, but not for those reasons. But I'm going to blame it on Einstein now.
Well, I'm not telling you that staying up late is a good thing, but there is a rare 10% in the world that function better off 6 hours of sleep. And this is a scientifically proven fact.
Yeah.
Most people function properly off of 8. Now, let's say that you get 4 hours of sleep on a regular basis. That is really not good for your brain because it takes 5 hours for your brain to properly regenerate. So when people say they stay up all night gaming and go through the next day and they're just fine, no, they're not fine because their brain isn't properly regenerated. And if you do this over a long period of time, what it's actually going to do is increase your mortality rate, which means you will die sooner. And your body has to catch up on the sleep at some point, so you will have to have a day where you sleep for 14, 20 hours plus, which continues to throw off this cycle of sleeping, which can greatly influence your dreams.
Well, interesting that we get into this subject of sleeping, because you notice how even if you wanted to sleep, sometimes you can't go to sleep, and when you're awake, when you wake up in the morning, you can't go back to sleep, even though you may want to, or you may feel tired. What is it with it, this sleep state that seems to elude a lot of people, especially with all the stresses we have in our lives today? It's a big problem for a lot of people. People are taking prescription drugs to go to sleep. And why is that? Is there something that we can quantify that allow us to say, oh, here's really the problem? This idea that Einstein, took naps instead of sleeping for 8 hours, sleeping for 4 hours continuously and then taking naps throughout the day, maybe that helped train his brain a certain way and to just only focus on the what's important to him. We're so distracted in our culture with everything, entertainment and material things, that we've sort of gotten away from really putting the importance on those kind of issues. And when was the last time people got together when they go out at night to eat dinner or whatever, or hang out with their friends? Did they sit around the table talking about their dreams they had last night? No, they're talking about the Chiefs or the Broncos or who won the World Series or whatever it is that's distracting them from making conversation with a real live other human being instead of staring at their phone. Eventually, I mean, what does that do? Because, we know that video games, if you play a first-person shooter video game for 3 hours and then you try to go right to bed afterwards, forget it. It's not happening. Your brain is so amped up from playing those video games. It's the same thing as looking at your phone. The digital TV itself has become so sharp and so stark in this contrast that it's difficult. It's hard on your eyes. It's hard on your brain because it's too, the edges aren't soft anymore. Nothing's analog anymore. It's all very vivid and very sharp. But that's almost more sensory than we can even perceive. So staring at computer screens and stuff all day and sitting under fluorescent lights eventually can't be healthy for people's dream state and, you know, their sleep patterns and things like that. You know, I mean, I hope you guys agree, but I really don't know. But it seems like we're heading down a path that's going to lead us to less and less dreams.
I agree 100%. Sorry to interrupt. Just to let you guys know, we only got about 5-6 minutes left. I don't want to cut anyone off early, but we've been talking about a lot of subjects tonight and great material and everything. But I do think that it's interesting we brought up games now and gaming. There's the same article I was reading that brought up about dreams mentioned that gamers, they're constantly in this virtual reality, especially with you hear about the Oculus Rift, or you may or may not, these virtual reality headsets that are coming out. And, you know, you go buy an Xbox One or a PlayStation 4, I don't even know what the fifth's coming out now, you can go buy a $4,000, $5,000 gaming computer and, you know, put yourself in a dark room in an alternate reality with how good and high def these games are, especially, you know, put yourself in a game, these role-playing ones, whatever you're into, Elder Scrolls or Fallout or all the different games out there where you're a character, you're running around, you control everything, you have this entire world and you're glued into that for 4 or 5 hours. Well, that may basically, from the article, have the ability of shaping these gamers' brains to have a more ability to use lucid dreaming in their dreams when they have access to that. Maybe they're already used to controlling their own reality through these games, that when they can tune into lucid dreaming, they're much more keened into being able to control their reality because they're so good at having this virtual reality in front of them. And they're already used to shaping and designing things that are in front of them that is not their own reality. It's simply virtual reality. It's like dreaming through a computer screen.
Yeah, sort of opposite of what I was talking about. Like you're saying that it possibly could help people if you did it right and you programmed the game with certain lights and certain colors and certain – they talked about flash rates. Flash rates can actually control, you know, your mood and stuff. If you flash certain number of times for a certain amount of period, these are mathematical formulations that can be done. But there's even video games now that, they have these warnings on them. Oh, if your child goes into seizures after playing this game, then maybe he should stop. You know, like, what's going on here? Like I said, it's
becoming Well, and they're getting so good now, and these TVs are out. You know, you can have a 100-inch TV in front of you or a monitor for your computer. You're playing a game that's, you know, running at 75, 80 frames per second. Your eye can't even capture all the movements that are actually happening on camera. And it's nonstop, you know, just adrenaline. It literally is adrenaline, especially if you find a game that you do like. And the idea, too, behind the article is just that you know, people have the ability or they don't have the ability. My dad got me into a book about astral projection or astral projection, whatever it's called, where you can, you know, maybe tune into your dreams and, you know, go visit other dimensions and be able to walk around. People have been trying to do that for so long, and obviously, you know, the video game era has been relatively new. I mean, if you look at it, it's kind of like technology has escalated the last 10, 15 years with how even movies, you got Blu-ray movies now. You used to be able to just watch a movie on VHS, instead now you're watching, go watch Transformers or Iron Man on Blu-ray. The amount of movement and special effects and things you see with your eyes, I think if you're constantly attuned to a virtual reality that's exposing new things to you that you can control, I think it does help sometimes people be attuned with their dreams. But I don't think it's the best delivery system, them getting it through a video game, because like you said, you're staring at a computer screen. Yeah, do that for 2, 3, 4, 5, however many hours, and try and go lay down or go to bed. You really can't without some type of substance or something to make you sleep. So it's
interesting.
Hey, this is
right
Alex.
Now.
I want to say something on this subject real quick, and then I'm going to hop off here. I want to say that if you're interested in that type of thing, you should really research the phantom pain, is what the mind produces, a pain that's not even real. And that when you see somebody cry in a movie or when you see somebody die or any of this type of things, it triggers emotions within you. So, yes, video games, movies, television, they all trigger chemical responses within your brain that alternate your reality as it is. you feel the pain, you experience what they experience. That's why we thrive when we play games. That's why we have adrenaline rushes when we play games. But anyways, thank you for letting me guys, or for letting me talk, and it was good talking with you guys, and I really enjoy the show, and keep up the good work. I'll talk to you guys later.
Yeah,
right on,
Alex. Yeah, just for the listeners, though, if anyone out there is playing video games,
and are you still there, Rodney? I lost you.
No, I'm here. Yeah, I was just
you cut out for a minute.
So. I was going to say, yeah, always have a backlight on your computer screen so that you've got another source of light other than the computer screen to look at. Otherwise, your eyes and tunnel vision and everything, yeah, it's so sharp and the contrast is so great that you're just going to – and it's kind of interesting that, yeah, older people seem to have a problem with these new programs and these new TVs because it makes them stressed out when they watch it.
Yeah, well, everything's so high def now. It's
right.
Even me, I mean, you're not saying I'm old or young or I hate terms like that, but and I've grown up around the newer technologies. I mean, when I was younger,
right.
I mean, the iPhones and the iPod, everything was getting popular, all these new technologies that now people have. But I've grown up getting used to them, and I remember having dial-up internet and everything like that where it was – I've kind of watched the technology grow, but – it's starting to bug me to the point where I look at my smartphone now sometimes and I can't look at the thing longer than 15 minutes. People who are
right,
glued to
right.
their phones and the technology, it has to have some type of impact on their health and
yeah.
their eyesight and everything like that. Personally, I have bad eyes to begin with, so I always thought it had something to do with that. The more I've learned about it, though, I think just some people use it so much they grow used to it, but it's a completely negative effect, I believe, on them and also the signals coming from them. And, you know, that'd be great to get Alex and some other people on and talk about these kind of subjects. I know it's a little different than the paranormal subject. We kind of started on dreams, but the effects of possibly wireless internet and radio waves and everything like that and how it shaped people and everything. Because, you know, these are still relatively new technologies. People weren't sending out radio
right.
waves and setting up Wi-Fi routers 200-300 years ago. How did that doesn't have an effect, and
yeah,
we
right.
can
what
talk about that
is.
A whole nother time. We only got a few minutes, but I'll let you take the floor now, and if you got any closing statements, we got about 2-3 minutes. Just didn't want to cut
okay.
you off at all.
Yeah, no, I agree with everything you said there. I think, you know, it's not a paranormal subject, but really it is, because science has gotten into the paranormal realm now. Like I said, where you have flash rates and you have other devices where people that create video games create them just like when somebody makes a soda can or something. They put stuff in there to make you want to keep drinking it and keep using it over and over and over again. So the video games aren't just there to maybe entertain you. They're there to make you buy that game and make you play that game religiously over and over again until you beat it, and then you have to get the next one and the next one. And so I really feel that eventually, you know, like I said, the technology and the starkness, I mean, nature is very soft and it's easy on the eyes. These high-def televisions with their flash rates and their high, you know, frame rate and all that, it's more than even the eye can take in. So your brain is getting overloaded with these signals that it can't hardly even decipher because it's so fast. And if you look at the movies and stuff that we have today, it's all just every 5 seconds there's just explosions and giant scene changes and stuff, where you don't have just the calm dialogue anymore. It's just all about the action and about the ups and downs, the roller coaster ride of taking you through a chemical cascade of these chemicals that are being dumped into your mind as you're watching these shows. But guess what? You're sitting there, you're drinking pop, you're eating, you know, sugary stuff, and you're not moving. And yet your adrenaline, you know, your adrenaline's pumping and you're getting all excited and your heart rate is up, and yet you're not moving. And so your body's in a fight-or-flight mode, but you're not actually doing anything. So it can't be good on your health simply because, you know, you're in a stressful situation, but you're not reacting physically to it. And so I used to do that. I used to go into these office buildings where all these people sit around all day for 8 hours sitting in front of their computers and drinking diet pop and just eating crud. And they're, you know,
right.
they just weren't happy. You know, so nature's right.
Yeah, it's not a good combination. It's not natural. It's
And I'm no expert on health, believe me. I have not been as healthy as I should have been many times in my life. I'm not this person saying I have it figured out, because I definitely don't. But I think anyone can put two and two together, especially with the articles that have come out. And we only got a little bit of time, so I'm going to have to wrap up here shortly. Just how much we know now about how much certain things affect us, such as sitting or not getting enough sunlight or not getting enough sleep or enough water, not eating the right foods. We learn these things now, how to be the right person. Right. We don't always do it, but the information's out there now, and it's becoming to the point now where it brings up a whole other thing we can talk about next show, and I'm going to have to wrap it up here in just about 30, 40 seconds. But how can we make our reality – how can we make our reality, how we want it to be? You know, can we control things in our subconscious and everything like that? And, how can we have more control over it?
That's part of it. It's got to be part of it. You know, your subconscious has got to have a lot more to do than what people give it credit for, I think. So you're right on. But you can do a whole other show on dreams, I guess, and part of the paranormal world, in my opinion. Definitely.
Right on. Well, we're going to go ahead and sign off here now, but everyone – keep looking up, and thank you for tuning in. Had some great callers tonight, and let us know if you guys want to do a show. Keep in contact with Drake. He's still there on the email and everything, and he'll be back shortly. So again, thank you. And Rodney, you got any last statements?
We'll look forward to the next show, and great callers, and looking forward to the next time we're on, and we'll cover some other things, but we can always go further into now. But yeah, why do we have this lifestyle? We know the information is there. Why do we continue to make bad decisions? It's really weird. Is that consumerism, all powerful or what?
Right. Yep. We will talk about more topics next time, and thank you very much, guys. Have a good night.